listeners are doing in the great outdoors.
Well, it's staying inside today, I'm sure. Well, not everybody. You know, those hunters, they get after it in all kinds of weather out there. So that won't deter a lot of people, I don't think.
I tell you, I can't believe those people who are in love with bow hunting, and I can feel their passion at Fifth, but it's just not my passion. I know Frank Lynn here, and he was well-known there in Emporia, and he would tell me stories, Benny Quadra, too, about being out in a tree stand and just having their face freeze on them, but enjoying every minute of it, watching nature and just wondering if that big buck was going to come in. But Ron, this past week, the insane wind did keep me off the water. And I did catch several channel cat right off the dock, and a big 24-inch, 5.5-pound walleye came to play one day. That was election day, and yes, I invited him to stay for supper.
Yeah, sounds good.
I'll tell you, this cold season water fish that you catch, they just seem to be a lot better to eat than when it gets hot. But most of the week, I've been staying around the house here cleaning up the storage shed and cleaning up the yard, and you know, I don't rake the leaves, I mow the leaves. I believe in composting and putting the garden to sleep for the winter. I did harvest a stalk of asparagus out there in the garden.
Oh, really?
And it's just been a crazy year for gardening. I don't think I've ever seen asparagus coming up in November, and I quickly put it to the test and ate it right there in the garden. It was really good.
Yeah, so it was good, huh?
It has been a crazy year for gardening. So Ron, tomorrow the upland game bird season in Kansas is open, pheasant and quail, the regular season. I did talk to several fathers that took their kids out during the youth season, and the kids were able to find some quail, especially around here. I haven't seen a pheasant close to here, a wild pheasant anyway, for many a year. But, of course, sometimes they escape from the controlled shooting areas, and we'll see them in the wild. But even though they found the birds, the kids had a little bit of time, trouble connecting with the shot. So I guess maybe they'll need to go out to the trap range and do a little bit more practicing. But for me, Ron, upland game bird season is just all about the dogs. And of course, the dogs are a year-round thing with me. I have them out there fishing with me out in the yard gardening and causing all kind of havoc around here. But in cleaning up, I found several things from my past with dog training. And dog training in the 60s, around the Taunton House anyway, was pretty frugal. We never had electric dog collars, or what I like to call training collars. We had tried to create a bond with our dogs, and it was thought at the time then to get a pup about 6 weeks old, but now I think we're looking at more getting pups at 9 weeks old because they're just so much to do that's good with. They stay with the litter a little bit longer. But when they separate from that litter and come to you, that's when that bond starts forming that you can really work with that animal that you're going to hopefully have all the rest of its life and in your life too. But we would use check boards, Ron, to train the dog and to give it some basic signals. And, of course, with the check cord, it's just like a leash. You'd have control over it. And sometimes we even put chains on dogs, especially the hard-running dogs that would get out of sight pretty quick. And not so much of a punishment, but with a little chain hanging off the collar, it would hang down, and the dog's front paws would hit that chain and slow it down some. But some people just wondered why you just didn't get a slow-working dog. That wasn't our deal. Most of our dogs were hand-downs from other people, and instead we started breeding our own. And training around the house was pretty comical. I've said many times the first dog that I encountered was a Weimaraner, a soldier had given my father. And I do want to thank everybody for helping our veterans out, and especially today with the Veterans Day. And goodness, that Ron Whitney is busy there in Emporia, isn't he?
Yep, yes, he is.
But we put chains on the dogs to help slow them down, check towards them, and sort of give them some basic commands. And, of course, when the dog didn't mind, if you could catch the cord, you did have control with them. It's a lot easier to grab a 20-foot cord sometimes than it was to grab the dog. But with a 20-foot cord, especially if you hunted with the dog, it was always getting tangled up out in the woods. And then sometimes it was even get tangled up, and if you didn't know where it was, you had a hard time finding them. Some dogs would put bells on, Ron, and it's something to hear that little bell tinkle, especially in brush. And with the bell and the cadence the bell was making, you could hear and sort of feel if your dog was really hunting hard, if it was what we call pawing around, or if that bell got silent and you know the dog was close. Sometimes the dog would be found on point. But most time when the bell got silent, it meant the dog was out of the country. So you had to go find it again. But just some cool memories down there and thinking about training dogs. And by down there, I did find a little package that came in the mail. It was in the 60s. And I'll tell you, the postage on this package was only 32 cents, Ron.
Nice.
And it came from the Canine Behavior Institute, 1927 Montana Avenue in Los Angeles. And with this little device came a... It was complete with the high FIDO secret of canine communication, which was an in-depth manual for breeders, owners, and veterinarians. And I don't know what the cost of this little necklace for dogs was, but I know Dad was just like little Ralphie waiting on the mailman to come when it came. And he was really happy when it came. And so with this, it comes with directions, and it's advertised as saying, the High FIDO, a sound training device, a simple conditioning device for use by the owner in complete training and therapy within the dog-owner relationship. Effective with any dog over 7 weeks old and for all breeds and dogs of all ages. It teaches the recall, which some people say come, I like to say here. It teaches sit, heel, stay, go, fetch, drop, hold. It teaches to honoring, it teaches courting, it teaches how to become a guard dog or a stock dog. And it stops all kind of different problems you might have with dogs, like potting in the house, chewing, biting, chasing. In some kind of way, in this notes, in this pamphlet that I got, it says chicken killing. I don't remember Dad's dogs ever getting into a farmer's chicken. And having to worry, but that's one thing you need to think about, hunters. If you're going out to a farmer's land and you don't have control of your dog, you don't want him to get into the farmer's chicken coop or chase cattle or any kind of things like that. But at one time in my life, Ron, I was a dog trainer, and I became using electric dog collars because when someone would bring me an 18-month-old dog with legs like a quarter horse, that checkboard just didn't work. And so what would go from a 20-foot checkboard, you was able to reach out at the time 2 miles to control a dog. And the first dog collar that we caught was called a Dogatron electric collar. And the thing with it, though, it had an antenna on it about 4 feet long. It was tangled up in the brush. It was a little white, a red box, and it was about the size of a shoe box, and it was just really cumbersome to use. And the big trouble with it was any radio signal might activate it. I mean, a ham radio, an airplane flying by, and this day and age, with all the towers, it just wouldn't work. But I did become a dog trainer, and I started using Tritronics, and to me, it was the cream of the crop in the way a dog collars was. And It had a system to it where the frequency was pretty well all in the collar. Someone couldn't be trying to activate a collar on a dog someplace else and then set your dog off. So I really like the Tritronic collar. Of course, now we have collars that have GSP locators in them. I'm a believer in trying to, if you're out there with a big running dog, to have control over it and to know where it's at. And they used to have beeper collars, but I really didn't like the beeper collars that much because when I'm out in the woods, I don't like to think of forklifts coming up behind me, you know, making that noise.
No kidding.
And that, but I tell you, when you lose a dog, like I lost there at Redding one time, and I knew Peach was down by the water, and all of a sudden there was just a ghostly silence. I did hear a crack, and when I went down there, I saw a hole in the creek. And so I was running up and down that creek just wondering, did Peach go through that ice? And I just wanted, it couldn't happen. She was just right there. And so I did backtrack. It was in the snow. And when I found her, she was sitting on point right with the last place I saw her. But Peach was sort of ticked out, brownish dog, and there's snow on the ground. And to this day yet, Ron, I really can't tell you if I even harvested a bird. I was just tickled to death to find the dog. So if you're out there hunting, and even if you have a close working dog, try to have control of that dog, and where for your own well-being, you know where you can recall it and get it back in. And these the callers now, they have the GPS locators. All you need to do is flip of the switch,
yep,
that you will be able to know where the dog is. And why I believe in the whole family training the dog, I had a fella come by one time and had a Brittany. And Brittanys are mostly known as easygoing dogs, close-ranging dogs. But this particular dog was a renegade, and the guy would take it hunting, and he couldn't control it. So that's why he was interested in an e-caller. And so I told him, he said, "Phil, you don't need to sell me on an e-caller." He said, "I'm sold already." He said, "What we need to do is convince my wife." And he said, "She can't even control the dog, but she won't let me get an e-caller." So I asked him to bring his wife over the next time he came over with the dog, and she did. And I use what you call a wire collar. I don't really like choke chains on the dog. Some people will use a choke chain and then just a little leash, because unless you know how to put that choke chain on the dog right, it really defeats the purpose. But a wire collar has like little prongs on it, and when the dog pulls, it will give a stimulus to the dog's neck, and it itself will stop it from pulling, and then it releases real quick, and so it gives that instant release that the dog will soon learn, if it's a smart dog anyway, that if I quit pulling, it will quit hurting my neck. And so in 5 minutes, this lady that could not even walk to Brittany, I had her leading that dog with that collar. And so by the next week, the husband got him a training collar. And where it extended your control of the dog from free feet, which a leash is, it'll give you, and like I said, 2 miles is a little extreme. But I explained to the lady, I said, you know, the husband goes on with it, and you want it to mind, but there's different degrees of stimulation, different degrees of distraction. And especially you might have a well-minding dog, but if a pheasant or quail gets up next to a road and a car's coming, when you holler at the dog, you want it to stop. I said, this device here might save the dog's life. So they were able to get a training collar, and hopefully they're living happily ever after.
All right, let's go ahead and take our first break here. How, Phil, we're tuned in. You're tuned in to What's In Outdoors. Phil Totten every Friday morning here, KVOE AM 1400 and 96.9 FM. Also streaming audio, KVOE.com. Stay tuned. We're back with more after this.
You've waited long enough, but hunting season is finally here. Bluestem Farm and Ranch has everything you need for a successful season, from calls and scents to blinds, decoys, and clothing. Stay warm and dry in the best camo and orange, and don't forget the dry layers and boots. Shop the wide selection of everything you need to get outdoors and enjoy a great hunt. Get ready for the field with just one stop to Bluestem Farm and Ranch Supply, West Highway 50 in Emporia.
The crew at Express Tire and Auto would like to thank all area veterans in all branches, past and present, for their service and sacrifice. They salute you. Express Tire and Auto reminds you to stay on top of routine vehicle maintenance. Proper vehicle maintenance can save you money and improve your safety while on the road. Contact John or Jenny at 620-343-9994. Express Tire and Auto, 806 East 12th. Open Monday through Friday until 5:30 and Saturdays till noon.
KVOE AM 1400 and 96.9 FM, live and local. Good morning. It is 8:42, sunshine and 24 degrees, wind chill of 9 out there this morning. Phil Totten, Studio North, Council Grove Lake, is bringing us What's In Outdoors. And what do you see from the indoors going on outdoors there this morning, Phil?
I'm going to see a lot today, Ron, because I'm going to stay inside. One of the things that we got going on down here is the marina will be closing down tomorrow. We've gotten rid of pretty well all the bait. We do have a few minnows, but just not enough people coming in there to keep the store open. But we will be, if you need propane or anything, if you are out on the lake and need a boat rescue, you know Ginger's number. But now we got a lot of things going on here at the house. Expect a big crew coming in for Thanksgiving, and an island is going to come here at about 10 o'clock. And so I'm going to get into, I need some prayers to do it. I don't need the prayers as much as I do need a carpenter. But we got into taking apart the old island last night, and it is going to be quite a deal. So that's going to be coming up after the show. I hope to be here next week.
Good luck.
Like I said, I've been putting the garden to sleep. In the garden, I like to bury leaves and turn the ground over a little bit. And then, of course, I got my bird feeders out there now. I did used to have them in the front of the yard. But birds, even though I like to watch them and everything, they can scatter that seed around in the yard. You'll have a lot of volunteer seeds come up. So really right out here at Studio North, I see 1, 2, 3, 4 bird feeding stations. And on those stations, I see a red-bodied woodpecker, a red-bellied woodpecker. Don't confuse it with the red-headed woodpecker. I haven't seen a red-headed woodpecker for quite a while. But I got goldfinches, got the blue jay, and I got squirrels. I'm going to need
that. You got squirrels, huh?
Yes, sir. I'm going to need to match wits with those squirrels sometime this year. Of course, the garden did provide me with 2 possums this past week that I quickly relocated to get them. You know, we had a guy talk about trapping last week, and I'll tell you that we need to do something about these. I call them nest robbers, but I just take them out to the wildlife area and let them go these days. And Dad never did teach me how to cook possum. But, no, the bird feeding, I got feeding black oil, sunflower seed is probably the staple. I buy the garden. I left a lot of volunteer sunflowers, and I really like to see the birds come into them and use that. Cooper's Hawk will go through here every once in a while. One of the things I was going to do yesterday that I didn't get done was put some brush piles out on the north side of the bird feeders, and that would give the birds some refuge from the wind and any hawks that might come through there. And also, if the sun ever shines out through there, it'll give them some sunny locations that they can just rest in what we like to call them idle areas. And any bird hunter will know that you'll generally find the birds around the feed in the morning, and they'll go to these rest areas or idle areas and spend the rest of the day, and then towards the evening they'll come back to the feed and around water, so you might plan your hunting around that. But I haven't got any reports of people catching trout. They used to stock the ponds over at Lebo, and I don't know if they still do that, but trout season in Kansas started on November 1. Of course, now we're in the light and dark goose season. Ron, you know what the difference between a light and dark goose is?
Well, color.
Yeah, I haven't been able to figure it out. Canada is called a dark goose, and it's a pretty light color.
Oh, okay.
But that season's there. And when it comes to waterfowl, you need to identify the critters and also what limits do it. And I'll tell you, on the 9th was the sandhill crane season opened, and I haven't seen any sandhills around here. I know when I go to Sterling and judge field trials there at Sterling, they're by Quivira National Refuge, the sandhills that fly over there, and they're really good to hear. I love seeing them. Of course, with Quivira, you need to watch, if you're a hunter anyway, that does have whooping cranes in there now, so know that identification. And the 10th there yesterday, the fall turkey season came to a close. I never did hear of anybody really hunting turkey in the fall. I do know that when they started the fall season, when we had a lot of turkeys, that the season ran the same time as upland game bird season and closed on January 31, and you could harvest up to 4 birds a day. Of course, you had a possession limit, but they let you take toms, hens, and jakes. And now the season closed on the 10th. So I am concerned about our resident turkey populations. I am seeing a few flocks that did have some recruitment, but not as many as I used to see when I see flocks of 200 and 300 turkeys in a group. And that was quite a lot of fun hunting those turkeys with the dogs. First time Peach pointed one, there wasn't a turkey season, and she was trailing it. And I thought it was a covey of quail running. She would trail and lock up, and then by the time I get there, she would break loose again. And not break loose, she would cautiously trail again and that. And then finally she came on point where it looked like her eyes was going to pop out of her head. She had them pinned down. So I walked into the flush, and out come this big old tom turkey. It reminded me of the Witches of Eastwick with Cher and Susan Squadron around that boiling pot. All I saw was black flurry coming up right there. And me and the Peach dog, we both broke and run. We didn't know what was coming out of there that day. But now turkey season, and of course, only time will tell if the populations will come back. And around the dove season ends on November 29th, and by that we're talking about the mourning dove and the white wing. And when I was a kid, we only had the mourning dove. Some people call it a turtle dove. But now in Kansas, you have a white wing, a Eurasian collared dove, and a ringed turtle dove. I've yet to see a ringed turtle dove in Kansas, but then again, there's different seasons for those. I think the Eurasian collared dove, I see a lot of them up at the fairgrounds there in Emporia, and I think season's open all year round with them with no limit because it is an exotic species. And, of course, then on November 30th, Ron, is the biggie where the Kansas regular deer season opens, or firearm season. So let's go to that last break, Ron, and close up the show.
All right, Phil, sounds good. You're tuned in to What's In Outdoors with Phil Totten. Stay tuned. We're back with more after this.
The crew at Express Tire and Auto would like to thank all area veterans in all branches, past and present, for their service and sacrifice. They salute you. Express Tire and Auto reminds you to stay on top of routine vehicle maintenance. Proper vehicle maintenance can save you money and improve your safety while on the road. Contact John or Jenny at 620-343-9994. Express Tire and Auto, 806 East 12th. Open Monday through Friday until 5:30 and Saturdays till noon.
Blue Stem Farm and Ranch Supplies got it.
Everybody needs a balanced diet, whether they go on two legs or four. Blue Stem is where you can pick from a full line of Hill's Science Diet pet foods that are yummy and nutritious for cats or dogs, big or small, young or old. So when you shop for pet food at Blue Stem, reach for superior nutrition for your pet's lifelong health. Keep your furry friends happy and healthy with Hill's Science Diet pet foods from Blue Stem Farm and Ranch Supply, West Highway 50 in Emporia.
KVOE AM 1400 and 96.9 FM live and local. Sunny, 25 degrees, wind chill of 12 degrees out there on a cold start to a Veterans Day morning. This is What's In Outdoors with Phil Totten. Back to wrap up the program for this week as we head into Veterans Day here today. So it looks cold out there to you, huh, Phil?
Well, it not only looks cold, it is cold. I opened the door to let the dog out, and that wind come into the cabin or my house now, and it took a while to get the dog go, but, you know, we need to let them out in the morning. Sometimes I will go out and walk with them, but not this morning. But these are the kind of mornings that the hunter really likes. Like I've been mentioned in years past, we'd want a couple of big freezes come before we went out and swamp the fields for pheasants and quail. But from what I hear out west, the numbers are down, and then also the drought, the vegetation, the cover really isn't there either. So I'm really anxious to find out how the hunting season is going to go out there. We'll be going out into the Horse Thief Canyon area, the Horse Thief Reservoir, for a writers' conference coming up in a couple of weeks, so I'll be able to report something from there. But I do ask the people that's going out to harvest game, if it's real warm, take care of your game. Take some coolers with ice in it. Of course, when you field dress the birds with pheasants, you need to leave some kind of identifying mark on them, either the head. A lot of people would leave a foot, so because with pheasants, you can only harvest the rooster. You can't harvest a hen. The other birds, if it gets hot, and I've seen some opening days, they would really get hot. Of course, I'm always concerned with spoilage, and especially then too with deer that you harvest. You do want to field dress it. Don't bring it up to the road and field dress it and leave the intestines and everything by the road that might, might cause some people some problems when they see it. There's still room for people to go to that deer processing program that I mentioned last week. It's being put on by backcountry hunters and anglers, and it's at Walton's in Wichita. And so we'll try to get that up on the webpage. Cost is 50, it's limited to 50 participants, and there is a cost, but it's going to be Tuesday, November 15th from 6 to 9. And the cost is $50, but it'll show you how to clean a deer. We did have a hunter's ed class at Rex and Dead Williams, and bless these kids that come out there. And some of them, even, flat, I'm going to have a problem cleaning a deer. Well, that's all part of the game is learning that. But I think most of them is going to have problems getting out there and putting the amount of walking that we got to do. We do a simple trail test, and at the end of the class, we always have an evaluation sheet. What did you like about the class? What didn't you like? And as instructors, what can we do to make it a better class? And invariably, it comes back. The only negative thing is too much walking. That's what this thing's all about. So, and if you're not in shape, you didn't want to consider. Don't go out there and do something that you might cause bodily harm to yourself. So that ought to do it for the show, Ron. And like I said, if I survive this putting in this island in the kitchen, hope to be here next week.
Well, best of luck to you, Phil. Always a pleasure. Good show. We'll talk to you down the road here.
God bless, Ron. Take care.
Yeah, Phil Totten, Once in Outdoors, Friday mornings here, KVOE Live and local. Log on to KVOE.com. Click on that community tab, top of the page, and there'll be a drop-down menu. What's in Outdoors, Phil Totten. Click on that, and Phil's got a page filled with great information, upcoming events, and photos. What's in Outdoors? Brought to you by Blue Stem Farm and Ranch Supply and Express Tire and Auto.
President Biden is in Egypt. He's met with President